How many of you are ready for the word of the Lord this morning? Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me? I want to give you this message, and it's amazing to me how the songs and the words, the prophetic utterances that have gone forth, I believe that it's all preparing our hearts, plowing up the fallow grounds of our hearts, getting us ready to receive some seeds of truth from the Word of God. And the Lord told us in His Word, He said, "My people are destroyed from lack of warm, fuzzy feelings." No, that's not what He said, was it? He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, knowing what thus saith the Lord." And church, we better get our eyes in His Word. Amen. We better get ourselves washed in the waters of His Word so we'll know what He said. Amen. Ignorance is no excuse, is it? "Well, I didn't know you said that, Lord." He's going to say, "Well, why weren't you reading my word?" Amen. "I gave it to you, provided it for you in plain English. And all you had to do was take the time to read it and you'd know what He had to say." Amen. All right, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah chapter 7. This has been on my heart really, really heavy for the last couple of weeks. The Lord brought this back to my attention again yesterday. And so I want you to remember that the prayers of mothers, the prayers of grandmothers on this Mother's Day, I believe it is those prayers are powerful. As Brother Farron sang that song, "I wish I could hear my mother pray again." Amen. There's something about hearing the prayers of a mother. Yeah. In that song I was telling you about earlier, it goes on to say, "Oh, I knew that my running days were over when one day I stood outside the door and I heard my mother and Jesus talk me over." Yeah. Amen. They talked it over about me. And I knew she was having a conversation with God, and I knew that she was getting through, and I knew those prayers were going to be answered. And I realized my running days were over. It was time for me to get right. Amen. Praise the Lord. But did you know, church, there's coming a time where even mother's prayers will cease to have their effect. There's coming a time that when the praying will stop working because God has closed the door. Praise the Lord. Some might say, "Well, preacher, I don't believe we ever ought to stop praying." I had somebody tell me that one time. Said, "Preacher, I think you're wrong. I don't think we ought to ever stop praying." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry to disagree with you, but when God says stop, you better stop." Well, has God ever told anybody to stop praying? Yes, He has. You're about ready to see it right here in Jeremiah chapter 7. Let's start reading there. I'm going to begin at verse 12 in Jeremiah 7. And then we're going to go to Luke 23. I want to tie these together, mothers and grandmothers. Don't stop your praying, but I want you to know that there's going to come a time and a place when your prayers will no longer have its effect. It's hard to imagine that, but it's a fact. Are you with me there in Jeremiah 7? And then also put your finger there at Luke chapter 23, because we're going to go right over to there for some New Testament bread right after we get Jeremiah 7. All right, beginning in verse 12. "But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking." How many of you know the Lord rises up early? In fact, He never sleeps. And so what He's saying is, when you're trying to rise up early, He's already awake. And He's already trying to talk to you. "Rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name." Everybody say, "By my name." Church, did you know your house that you're living in? I'm not talking about your earthly house. I'm talking about your house you're living in. If you're called by His name, He's talking about this house. "Wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh." Watch this. "And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Church, is there ever a time when God's going to say, I'm not hearing the prayers? I'm done. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? And if I can, just take that one verse, church. And if I can just paraphrase it to fit today in the time and age in which we live, could we not also say, seest thou not what they do in the cities of America and in the streets of Washington, D.C.? Turn with me now to Luke chapter 23. I'm going to start in verse 28. I believe this portion of Scripture is very fitting to go along with the praying mothers and the praying grandmothers. Fathers and grandfathers, I know you pray too, but it's not about you today. It's about mothers and grandmothers. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the womb that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Church, again, if I can take that last verse that I read to you, verse 31, and paraphrase it just a little bit, so that it'll fit the time and the age in which we live. If I were to say, for if they do these things in the land of the free, what shall be done when your liberties are taken away? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, O God, that we have together. We thank you again for your precious and holy and righteous blood, Lord, whereby we are hid with Christ in God. Thank you, Lord, that we have another opportunity today to make our calling and election sure. Lord, that today we can examine ourselves again to see if we be in the faith. Lord, I pray, let the Spirit of God which has moved upon us already, Lord, that has moved around us and within us already, Lord, that has plowed up the fallow grounds of our heart, Lord. Oh, may we receive with meekness the engrafted Word that is able to save our souls. And we give you the praise and the glory. Touch the hearts of each one that are here. Touch our minds, O God. Help us, O Lord, to prepare ourselves for the things that are coming upon the face of the earth. And we give you the praise and the glory. And everyone shouted amen. Amen. Come on, shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, you may be seated. I want to preach to you for a little while this morning about the day the prayers stop working. Amen. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Praise God. Amen. Are you glad that you are hearing doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Praise God. Paul also told Timothy in his letter, he said, all Scripture. How many of you believe all Scripture? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Amen. It's profitable. I don't care where you go in the scriptures. It's either going to be giving you instruction in righteousness. It's either going to be reproving you. It's either going to be correcting you. Amen. Or it's going to be giving you some doctrine that you need to stand on. Praise God. How many of you are thankful for the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of you are thankful for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, and church, I want to remind you that the gospel, which is in the other words, it is called the good news. I want you to know that through the gospel flows the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that a portion of the gospel, as Brother Farron said already this morning, in a portion of the good news, there's a portion where you must go down to Gethsemane and you must offer yourself up in prayer. There is a place in the gospel where there was a cross. There is a place in the gospel where there was a crucifixion. There is a place in the gospel, oh hallelujah, where Jesus Christ suffered and died so that we might have life and that more abundantly. Amen. All of the Word of God, church, it is relevant to us today. Hallelujah. We need to take it and to apply it. For the Word of God, the Bible says, was, the Word of God is, and the Word of God shall be. Hallelujah. It's forever settled in heaven. And we live in a world where men are deciding now, churches are deciding what is relevant with the Word of God. And I want to ask this question. Who is man that they decide when God is relevant and when they decide when God is no longer relevant? Somebody say hallelujah. How many of you believe that Jesus is the living Word? Hallelujah. I said, do you believe Jesus is the living Word? Hallelujah. All of Jesus Christ is relevant. Hallelujah. Which part of Jesus are you going to excise and take off of the body of Christ and say that it is no longer relevant for the day and age in which we live? Church, we need the whole truth and nothing but the truth of the Word of God and of Jesus Christ. Woo, somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. The eternal giver of life. I want to ask the question. Hey, oh man, oh son of man, who art thou? You are but a speck of dust in an immense universe that was created by an almighty living God, who in the beginning was the Word. Hallelujah. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. Hallelujah. And do you think for a moment that he needs some stinking, proud, haughty creature that he created to decide if his word is still relevant today or not? Oh, hallelujah. The answer is obvious, isn't it? Paul reminded Timothy, all scripture is profitable. Praise the Lord. I'm saying that, church, this morning so that we recognize, hallelujah, as much as prayer is a cornerstone foundation of the doctrine, hallelujah, of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is also a time when he will reach that door of grace will be closed. And I believe that it gets closed for the world at a certain point. I believe at other points, for nations, that door of grace and opportunity gets closed. For that state, there may be opportunities, hallelujah, for regions of the world. Those opportunities have come and gone, and that door is closed, hallelujah. Oh, just like it was in the nation of Israel in the time of the prophet Jeremiah. There were times that he cried out to the people that they were leaving, walking away from God, that there was idolatry, not only in their lives, but there was idolatry in the house of God. And Jeremiah wept. He was called the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah wept and he said, listen, there's coming a time where the judgments of God will begin to fall. Oh yes, on Israel. And there were so many more. There were hundreds of prophets who were prophesying that Israel would be prosperous again. There were hundreds of prophets who were prophesying that Israel would rise to the forefront of the world. world again and conquer all of her enemies and be stronger than ever before. Oh, I'm here to tell you, church, when there's 100,000 that are prophesying something against the word of God, God will always have one Jeremiah to stand up and to say the word of God is forever settled in heaven, and what God decrees, man cannot shut down. Woo! Glory to God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, the performance and the promise of God. It is profitable for you and me. The operation, oh, of the mind of God. It is profitable for you and me. Praise God. Oh, in church, as we pray, as mothers, as you continue to pray, how many of you have lost loved ones in your family that you want to pray for? Oh, grandmothers, how many of you got lost loved ones in your family that you continue to pray for? I believe that you ought to continue to pray. Oh, pastor, are you saying I ought not pray? Is there a time that I ought to stop praying? I believe that in the life of each individual, you need to follow the plan and the will of God. Amen. There will be times in your life that the Lord will tell you to stop praying for so and so, believe it or not. They may have crossed a line that you don't see. They may have stepped on the grace and the love of God that you don't know about. And they may reach the point where God, as grace has been frustrated with them, and He has turned His back on them. Church, I'm here to tell you, there are times that we get the word out of whack, and we think we know the mind of Christ, but our minds have got to be transformed so that we might be able to know the mind of God. Oh, that we might be able to see that He is long-suffering toward men. Oh, that He's merciful and that He is kind. Oh, but He said also, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Oh, church, if the door for grace is open in your life, you better take advantage of it. If you're not where you ought to be with God, and He's drawing you, you better run into the ark of safety. Somebody say hallelujah. Church, the word of God is still profitable for you and I. And there are many, unbelievably, there are many who do not even realize that in the book of Jeremiah, God said, God reached a point in the life of Israel. Yes, in the life of Israel, where He told the prophet Jeremiah, stop praying for that country. Stop praying for those people. Stop praying for them. The door of my grace in their life has been closed, and judgment is the only thing next to happen. Are you hearing me, church?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, what do you mean, Israel? And didn't He take Israel in great miracles out of Egypt when they had the blood applied to the doorposts? Got them out of Egypt through the Red Sea. They were baptized by the cloud and by the sea with Moses, and then began to walk after the Spirit in the daytime of a cloud, of cloud by day, and in the nighttime a pillar of fire by night. Oh, did they not walk on in through the promised land as the Jordan River parted and they walked through? Isn't this the group of people that marched 13 times around the walls of Jericho? And when the Spirit of God moved upon their shout, it broke down the walls around the city. Are you talking about those people, prophet? Yes, I'm talking about those people. It reached a time and a place, even Israel had reached a place where God told the prophet, no longer pray for them. Oh, somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise God. Listen, church, the word is truth, and we've got to get back to what God says. Amen. We've got to hear and know from the word of God what He said. Amen. I was talking to somebody just yesterday, and I said the sad part is people don't even realize anymore some of the things that God said. How many of you know that the Bible tells us in Corinthians that if you're living a life of fornication, you shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. If you're living a life that is adulterous, you shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. How many of you know it says that if you're a thief, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven? Church, the word of God is forever settled in heaven. And just because you don't know it, or nobody's preaching about it, doesn't mean God's going to put away His word just for you and just for your sake. His word is forever settled in heaven. And when you stand before Him, the book of life will be opened. And the books, His word will be opened, and your life will be judged according to how you lived, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Woo, somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Are you thankful for the blood which covers away your sins and washes them away, hallelujah, to be remembered against you no more?
Glory to God.
Praise God for the blood. Oh, church, but the Word, we've got to have the Word, we've got to know. As we begin to search out God's Word, we begin to realize that the search of truth, it's got to begin at the Word of God. I'm so sick and tired of all these newer translations, and somebody tries to explain it away. Well, this better helps me understand. How do you cut away 1,494 words out of the New Testament alone, and somehow you understand Jesus better? Which part of Him did you cut away? Which part of the Word did you decide, oh man, which was good for you and which was not? I am sick and tired of these translations which have neutered the Word of God and have stripped it of the power of the blood and of the Holy Ghost. Church, if we ever needed all of Jesus, today's the day. Now is the hour!
Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. As Jesus prayed in the garden, His final prayer with the disciples was, Lord, Father, would you sanctify them through Thy truth? Thy word is truth. You know, wisdom of man has become a religion in today's world. Hallelujah. I said wisdom of man has become a religion in today's world. But God still says His words, oh, that are eternal. It still cries out. It still reaches out to man and says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, you know why? It's not knowledge of the world that He's talking about. Church, it's the knowledge of the things of God. That's what matters. That's what's eternal. That's what will get you from where you are today to where you desire to be tomorrow. The knowledge of the things of God. Amen. Oh, praise God. It's not religiosity that will get you where you need to be. It's not going to some university and having some letters at the end of your name that will get you where you need to be. I don't even care if you've gone to a theological seminary. Are you hearing me, church? Oh, in Bible college, we used to joke around and say it was a theological cemetery, because even though so many women there, so many died there. Are you hearing me? Oh, why? Because they got knowledge, a head full of knowledge, but a heart with nothing. Oh, listen, church, we got to get Jesus on the inside working on the outside. We got to not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, so we might know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Church, we've got to get our mind transformed. Why? Because we're reaching a time and a place quickly. Oh, listen, where prayers that you have prayed, even though they're stored up in a vial somewhere, I'm here to remind you, church, that there's going to come a time and a place and a day where the prayers will no longer have its effect. It'll be a time and a place where all the prayers that are prayed will stop working. Why is that?
preacher. Oh, church, because God said it, and it will happen. No amount of your prayers is going to change His mind. He told the prophet John in the book of Revelation. He said in chapter 4, He said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." He didn't say, "I'm going to show you things which could be." He didn't say, "I'm going to show you things which might be." He said, "I'm showing you things that I've already proclaimed. And because I proclaimed it, it will happen." Can somebody shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Are you glad you serve a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever? He changes not. Hallelujah. He doesn't change with every whim. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, Israel had been delivered from Egypt in bondage. Israel had been blessed beyond belief. In every war they were victorious. Every nation around them learned quickly that Israel was blessed of the one true God. That He had their backs. That they would be blessed in their land. That their land would flow with milk and honey. And when they would sit down to eat, they blessed the Lord. When they got up, when they rose up to work, they would bless the Lord. When they laid themselves down to sleep, they would bless the Lord. Hallelujah. When they went out, they blessed the Lord. And when they came in, they blessed the Lord. Hallelujah. And they lived by, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And the words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently to your children. And thou shalt talk of them when you sit in thine house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you riseth up." Somebody say praise the Lord. Church, I'm here to ask you. Mothers, I'm here to ask you. Grandmothers, I'm here to ask you. What is it that you're teaching diligently to the children? Is it how to succeed in this world? Is it how to move on a little bit higher and get a farther ahead in this world? Or is it how that thou might achieve some eternal things and have the riches of Christ Jesus, which will last forever? Hallelujah. You see, this country that I'm preaching to you about, of Israel, they would cry out to God with their supplications, and God would hear their cry, and He would answer. The prophets would cry out in intercession for the people, and God would intervene on their behalf. Are you hearing me, church? Oh, but it reached a time and a place when Jeremiah was on the scene. God will always have a prophet who will call out and will tell it like it is. Hallelujah. Even though he's the only one of many, he'll still stand up in the watchtower and be a watchman unto the people of God, and will cry out what he sees that's coming. And church, I'm here to tell you that the judgments of God are going to fall on this country, America, just like they fell on the nation of Israel. Why? Because you don't love your country? That's not true. I do love my country. I'm grateful I was born in the best country I believe this world has ever seen. Oh, but I'm here to tell you, oh, just like Israel, we've turned our back on God, and we begin to walk in another way, and we begin to walk after other gods. And even in the house of the Lord, there is idolatry that is allowed. There are things that God does not want in the lives of His people. And somehow or another, it has crept in, and we've accepted it. Yea, we've even approved it. God is still calling out to His people, the church. I've told you this. I began to feel this about 2 or 3 years ago when I first preached something similar to this. I believe that God, hallelujah. How many of you know that the cornerstone of our doctrine is prayer? How we ought to pray. We're going to get back in prayer services as soon as we can. Amen. We need to be in prayer. Oh, listen, I want to remind you that praying and is just like praise. Amen. How many of you can praise God in your car? How many of you can praise Him in the grocery store? How many of you can praise Him wherever you're at? Man, praise God, you can be on the back 40 and be praising God. And I'm grateful for that. Oh, but I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. There is something special about people of God coming together, and with their faith it is combined, and their prayer it is combined, and their praise and worship it is combined, and it rises up as a sweet smelling savor unto God, and He blesses His house and His people with His Spirit.
Oh, church, yes, I know all those things can happen at home, and you say, well, why do I need to come here to pray? Because there's a portion of prayer that's gained in the congregation that you'll never get alone.
That's right.
Amen. There's a portion of praise that you will never get in solitary confinement that you can get in the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, God can meet your every need wherever you are. But He didn't. Why else would He say, there's something special about the house of the Lord where people come together? Church, you ought to be assembling together as often as you can. Amen. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some are, even the so much the more as you see that day approaching. Why is it, church? Pastor, why is it you're harping on this? Oh, because I want you to recognize that there's a portion of prayer, praise, and worship that you'll never get on your own, that you got to have as you come together in the house of God. Amen. And part of our idolatry, church, if we're not careful, as Sister Ruth just gave a word from the Lord not too long earlier today. Do you remember, church? And He said, listen, you ought to be running toward me. But instead of running toward Him, we're looking around at all the things that are going on in the world. And it seems like we're more concerned about that than we are about running and getting closer to Jesus.
Come on, that's good. Yeah, reach, brother. That's it.
And do you not think that that is a form of idolatry? Yes, it is. You're looking at those things instead of Jesus when you ought to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Instead of looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, you're hanging on to the sins and the weights that you know does so easily beset you. And so therefore you cannot run with patience the race that is set before you. I'm telling you, church, you better lay them aside. You better let go of the sin and the weight. And look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Well, Pastor, why are you saying this? Because there's coming a day when all the prayers that you prayed, praise God for your family that are lost. For our grandmothers and mothers, specifically, I want to point this out to you today, just like Jesus was telling the women at Jerusalem as He was headed up to Calvary's cross to be crucified. Do you realize not even a bunch of weeping mothers and grandmothers was going to change His course? Hallelujah. You hearing me, church? There had to be a crucifixion that day. He knew He had to pay the price for you. Hallelujah. And even though there was a bunch of women who really loved Him, who really cared for Him, I believe His own mother was in that group and began to cry. Hallelujah. Began to weep over Him, that they were going to lose Him. There still had to be a cross. There still had to be a crucifixion. There still had to be a death of the perfect Lamb of God. There still had to be the shed blood so that we might be saved. Hallelujah. So even though there were weeping mothers and grandmothers there that day, oh, and they knew, I believe many of them knew that He was, Brother Perrin, the Son of God. They had no doubt in their mind. And even some of them were thinking, well, if He really is the Son of God like I believe He is, why is He letting these people do this to Him? If He really is the Son of God, why is He being beaten and tortured and being carried up this cross, up this hill? They're going to crucify Him and they're going to kill Him. If He's the Son of God, why can't He stand up and proclaim who He is and conquer them by force? I'm here to tell you, church, He could have if He wanted to. The Bible says there were legions of angels that were ready to step up at His command. And the world would have deserved everything it got. Are you hearing me? Those 12 legions of angels could have destroyed the entire planet and everything alive on it. And the world
would have deserved every judgment and punishment that he got. But the precious Son of God held back the judgment. Even though there were weeping mothers and grandmothers saying, "Oh, please do not let this be." He said, "There are things that must be. There are things that must be done. And I will proceed." However, don't waste your tears. Don't waste your prayers. Are you hearing me, church? Don't waste your tears and your prayers on trying to change something that must be. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you what the Lord began to tell me a couple of years ago. You need to stop praying that your country become great again. Are you hearing me? You need to stop praying that your nation and everything will go back to normal. I'm here to tell you, normal is gone and is never returning again. Are you hearing me, church? Oh, I know some people don't want to hear this. And some say, "Preacher, you're just negative. You're a gloomer and doomer." They said the same thing about Jeremiah. I'm here to remind you, church, a normal America is gone and it will never return. I'm not telling you to stop praying. I'm telling you to redirect your prayers. Stop praying about stuff that God has said must be and start praying about things you can change. Start praying about your own life and where you're at with God. Start praying about those who are not yet saved and need to hear of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Stop praying for your bank account and start praying for your heavenly treasures which are laid up in heaven. Stop praying for your life to get back to normal, because when it was normal, you were sleeping.
At least now you're awake. Hallelujah. Praise God. Church, the praying someday will stop. Hallelujah. The praying for certain things will stop. Praise God. Hallelujah. Remember Judah? What happened to Israel? That's what God was telling the prophet Jeremiah to tell them. Remember Judah? What happened to Israel? Remember, Judah was the southern two tribes. The northern 10 tribes were called Israel. The southern 2 tribes of Judah and Benjamin were called Judah. Judah, remember what happened to Israel? 120 years before Judah fell, Israel was taken into captivity. The place called Shiloh in the 10 tribes where God placed His name. He said, "I took my name from off of it and I allowed judgment to fall upon Israel." And He said, "Judah, sit up and take notice. If I did it to Israel, I'm going to do it to you." And I'm reminding you, church, are you hearing me? If God did it to Israel and God did it to Judah, God will do the same thing to the United States of America. If we walk away from God and reject the only salvation that is to be found in Jesus Christ, the judgments of God are sure to fall. And the day the praying stops is when God tells you to begin to redirect your prayers for a country who has turned their back upon God. Redirect your prayers not for your country, not even for your state, hallelujah, not even sometimes for your county or your city, but mothers, grandmothers, hear me this morning. God is telling you, you need to redirect your prayers for your children and for your grandchildren. Are you hearing me? For the times that are coming, just like Jesus told the women at Jerusalem, the mothers and the grandmothers who were weeping over something that had to be. He said, "Don't weep for this. You need to weep for yourself. You need to weep for your children. You need to weep for your grandchildren. For the time is coming." Oh, church, are you hearing me? For the time is coming when the judgments of God will begin to fall. And it's those prayers of you weeping for your children and for your grandchildren, the things that you can change. Oh, hallelujah. The things that you can have an effect in. Church, too many times we expend all of our energy, all of our spiritual energy in prayer for something that we cannot change. Are you hearing me? Oh, because the judgments of God, hallelujah. The Bible says, because the judgments of God are not executed speedily, it is within the hearts of men to do evil continually. And church, how many times, how many years has our nation been given a chance to turn back to God? And they have rejected Him. They've sneered. And today they're even trying to find some kind of way to call all Christians conservative whack jobs. Are you hearing me, church? You're lumped in whether you want to be or not. Hallelujah. And we're quickly coming to the place where if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have faith in God and your life begins to show it, you will become an enemy of the state. Are you hearing me, church? Hallelujah. Oh, Pastor, I think you're a little far-fetched. You go read the book of Jeremiah and you tell me how far-fetched I am. If you don't think history repeats itself, you go tell me how far-fetched I am. Hallelujah. Listen, if God turned His back on Israel because they rejected Him, He's going to turn His back on this country. If God turned His back on Judah, the place where He put His name, listen to me, church, the place where the promise, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was risen up out of, and they trampled under feet the blood of the only begotten Son of God after He was crucified and His blood shed for the sins of the world, they began to offer up the blood of bulls and goats again. Trampling under feet the blood of Christ. What happened? 70 AD. The city of Jerusalem was razed and the temple was broken down just as Jesus said it would be, so that there'd be not one stone left lying on another. If He did that to the place where the Son of God came and where the promise was revealed, do you not think He'll do it to this country? Listen to me, there's a whole lot of false teachers out there. Are you hearing me? There's a whole lot of false preachers. Oh, listen, there's some that even come out there and they claim to be an end time revival information series, an end time revival information network. And the preacher will get on there and he'll say, oh, that America and Israel is going to be exempt from the rule of the Antichrist. And I want to ask him, what Bible are you reading out of? You've created more false doctrine for your own self, just like the other doctrine that you've created. You need to get back to the Word of God, because you'll be destroyed for the lack of knowledge which God has already given you. He's already said in His Word, when Antichrist comes on the scene, He has been given power over all nations, over all people, over all kindreds, and over all tongues. So false prophet, I don't know who you think you are, but God's Word takes precedence over your earthly wisdom. Can somebody give me an amen?
Amen.
Well, I've got a PhD at the Indiana Bible Institute of the Bible. Well, I don't care what PhD you got at what Bible Institute. If you didn't get it out of the Bible Institute of the Book of the Word of God, then yeah, I don't care what your title is. There's somebody greater than you, and it's the Son of God who is the living Word. And you'll stand before Him someday and give an account of all the words that you cut out of His book. You'll give an account someday of all the gross additions you tried to add to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Woo! Somebody say praise the Lord. Are you glad for Jesus today? Are you glad that He is the only begotten Son of God and that there is no other? Are you glad that He is the only way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other? Are you glad that He's made a way, hallelujah, for us to be saved? And it is through the blood of a spotless Lamb of God. And if you'll be washed in it today, church, hallelujah, the prayers of the mothers and grandmothers are still in effect if you're praying for something that can be changed. Oh, what is it that can still be changed? Oh, He didn't say everybody was lost. He said, whosoever will. Mothers and grandmothers, stop praying for something that God said must be. Are you hearing me? Stop praying to change something that God said must be. Are you hearing me, church? I said, stop praying over something that God said must be. And start praying where God says there's still an open door and it can be changed. Start praying for those things where He said, whosoever will. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Church, pray for those whosoever's who've not received Jesus. That's who you need to be praying for.
Somebody said, "Preacher, well, I'm praying that the Antichrist will not come and rule over America." Well, you're praying the wrong prayer because God said it must be.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, preacher, I'm praying that I'm going to have a bunch of money in my bank account and I'm going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Praise the Lord. Good luck with that. Amen.
Amen.
Paul said, "I've learned how to be abased and I learned how to abound. But in all things, give thanks." You know what you need to learn? You need to learn how to give thanks, whether you've got nothing or whether you're loaded. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Whether you've got 10 cents in your bank or 10 million, you ought to be able to give praise and thanks to God because He's the only one that allowed you to have it to begin with.
That's right. Praise God. That's it. Yep.
Well, God gave me a promise, brother. Yeah, He gave us a lot of promises. Hallelujah. But the only promise that counts is that if you're holding to His hand. Is that if you're holding to His hand. Hallelujah. And that if your oil is filled up in your lamp and your light is burning brightly. This is the promise you want, brother. I talked to somebody just the other day. I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Well, we're still healthy. That's all that matters." I said, "No, that's not all that matters. What matters is that we're right with Jesus. All the other stuff is secondary." I know he probably meant well. But I just had to throw it in. The preacher in me had to throw it in there. Hallelujah. Church, I don't want to see anybody get sick. But church, we recognize this. Sometimes we get into a rut. We get our mind in a mindset. And if we're not careful, we'll be conformed to the world instead of transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we'll be worried more about our tomorrow than are worried about our eternity. Well, I got to make sure tomorrow that I've got this, 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 and that. Jesus said, "Fear not, nor be concerned about your need for tomorrow. If He clothes the lily of the fields, and if the Father feeds the sparrows, you're worth more than many sparrows." Can somebody say hallelujah? He makes sure them sparrows get something to eat every day. And He clothes the lily of the fields. And are arrayed and adorned in such a way that even King Solomon would have gotten jealous looking at them. Hallelujah. Church, let's begin to redirect our prayers. Mothers, grandmothers, stop praying about things which must be. Stop praying for God to stop things which are going to happen whether you like it or not. Are you hearing me, church? Ooh. Are you hearing me, church? Somebody, if you're hearing me, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Grandmothers and mothers, on this Mother's Day, I want to encourage you to alter your prayers. I didn't say stop praying. I said change the way you pray. Stop praying about things that God is going to do whether you like it or not. Begin to pray about things that you can have an effect in. If your children are walking away from Jesus, you need to be praying for them. Amen. Hallelujah. It reminds me of an old song I used to hear. Some of you may know it. Oh, some of you may know it. Oh, as we look into the skies and the tears may fill our eyes and our lonesome hearts are yearning for rest. And then we cry, "Oh Lord, please come and take your children home." But then we look around us and we say, "Oh, just a little longer, please, Jesus. There are so many wandering out in sin. Wait a little longer, please, Jesus. Just a few more days to get our loved ones in." Is that your prayer? Church, we can pray those prayers. Lord, if there's any days, any hours, any moments left in that doorway of grace, Lord, would you help us to utilize those days and to be praying for those loved ones and friends, those that you're going to put into our path whose souls need to find the saving grace of the blood of the Lamb so that they might be eternally changed. That's an important prayer. Church, stop praying about your bank account. Stop praying about your earthly needs. Stop praying about your country becoming great again.
Stop praying. I'm believing God is telling us even to stop praying about the things that our country's already done and our fate has been sealed. Are you hearing me, church? We're no greater than Israel. If He doesn't judge America for what we've done, He'll have to apologize to Israel. If we are not judged for the atrocities that we have done and the innocent blood which cries out from the ground even today, He'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And God does not apologize because God is never wrong. Church, I'm here to tell you He is forever and eternally settled in heaven. If He spoke it, He will do it, whether you like it or not. Whether you approve of it or not. Whether you don't think it fits your theology or not. Somebody say hallelujah. Preacher, I'm living in the age of grace. Well, praise God for grace. But you better have some truth. Amen. Hallelujah. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. When you say you only live by grace and you're saying the arm, only one arm of Jesus was nailed to the cross. I'm telling you, both hands were grace and truth. Amen. Those arms, those hands were pierced so that we could have grace and truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Church, grace, oh, I'm living by grace every day. Living by grace every day. But you better be living by faith every day. And you better be living in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, there's coming a day when the prayers will no longer work. What do you mean? Can you imagine those? Noah, don't you imagine Brother Noah? As he built that ark for 500 years, the Bible says, he began to build that ark. And I've believed this ever since the Lord showed this to me. I believe that there was a time when Noah started building that ark. I believe there were thousands of people out there. It was such a new, novel thing. They wanted to all pitch in and be a part of this great new thing that was going on. But as time went on, and Noah continued to preach about the righteousness of God. But now, how do you know that? Because the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness! And he began to preach about the righteousness of God. And that, listen, surely the righteous God will only allow sin to go so far. When the cup of iniquity is full, it will be poured out. He began to preach righteousness. Few on the edge begin to dwindle and walk away. And then a few more. And as the boat neared completion, and Moses, Noah was preaching about the judgments of God that were going to fall in the form of a flood and a form of rain. The rain never came, it appeared. The floods never came, it appeared. And so he became this crazy kook who was preaching about stuff that would never happen. Church, I've had Christians stand up, look me square in the eye and say, listen, preacher, America will never fall. I'm going to say, you know what? You better never say never. Because only God is the one who can say never.
That's right. Preach it, brother.
Are you hearing me? Listen, for you to say never, you're taking the place of God. You're saying God's judgments, God's word, is not forever settled in heaven. He's going to give us a pass when He didn't give Israel one. Does that sound like a fair, just God to you? No. See, we want God to be fair and just to us, don't we? We want Him to be fair and just to others. But when it comes to us, you think He's going to change His just? You think He's going to change who He is? Just because we have a flag that's red, white, and blue? And we've got stars on it? And there were some founding fathers who really had a belief and a faith and a trust in Jesus? I'm glad they did. We have a rich, beautiful heritage. So did Israel. So did Israel. We have a lot of wonderful things that happened in the past of our country. So did Israel. And they were dispersed. They were surrounded. And they were overcome by their enemies. Church, I know Brother Noah in the ark as the door was closed. You know, I believe as the door was even closing. I believe that as the animals were in the ark and the door wasn't even closed yet. Moses' prayer
I believe Noah's prayer began to change. I believe Noah began to stop praying that the flood would not come. I don't believe that ever was his prayer. He knew it was coming. Are you hearing me? But Noah began to change his prayer. Oh Lord, for those who are still here outside of this ark, and the door is still cracked open a little bit, and they're just outside of the ark, and they can hear my voice. I'm praying, God, they change their mind and get into the ark and get saved. He wasn't praying that their houses would not be destroyed. He wasn't praying that their livelihood would be kept intact. He was not praying that they would keep their beautiful mansion and all the things that they had acquired in this earth. He was praying that they might get into the ark and get saved. And then as the door began to close and did its final click, I believe even then the prayer of Noah began to change, and it was no longer even about those who were outside the door. But it was, "Oh Lord, help me make it. Help me make it through this flood that's coming. Lord, be with us and keep your hand upon us as we see what is coming and as we recognize we've never been in a flood before. Help us, O Lord. Bring us safely through so that we might land where you would want us to be and we can start life anew." Church, we have some of these things that are facing us today. I've told you before, I'm going to tell you again. This coronavirus, I don't care who manufactured it. I don't care if it was a leftist thing. I don't care if it was a Democrat thing. I don't care if it was an ex-administration thing. I don't care if it's a false government, hidden government, shadow government. I don't care if it was China. God's in charge of it all, and He allowed it. And it's the first contraction of the woman in labor. In church, the next one is what worries me, because it's going to be more severe than this one. And even now, as I look around, I'm starting to see restaurants open up. I'm starting to see this last Friday, hair salons and barbers opened up. Everybody's kind of taking off the masks now and getting back to normal and feeling like everything's getting back to normal again. People are going back to work. Church, that's the time you need to be the most cautious. That's the time you need to be the most concerned, because that contraction will come upon us. The next one, as a woman in travail, when you think it's not coming, it will be there. And church, what are you going to do in the next time, the next event? And whether it be an earthquake, which I believe the Lord is going to send a massive earthquake our way. And shortly after that, we're going to be involved in probably a world war. Church, you better get yourself ready. You better get yourself ready. You better begin to alter your prayers and stop praying for the things of this world, the things which will perish and pass away. And you need to change your prayers and begin to pray for the things which cannot pass away. Your soul, your children's souls, your grandchildren's souls, those are eternal. They're worth far more than anybody's bank account. It's worth far more than whatever you may have acquired in this life. Close your eyes and bow your head. Oh brother, afar from the Savior today, risking your soul for the things that decay. Oh, if today God should call you away, what would you give in exchange for your soul? Oh, what would you give? Oh, what would you give? What would you give in exchange for your soul? What if today God should call you away? What would you give in exchange for your soul? Mercy is calling you. Won't you give heed? Must the dear Savior still tenderly plead? Risk not your soul. It is precious indeed. Oh, what would you give in exchange
for your soul. What would you give? What would you give? What would you give in exchange for your soul? What if today God would call you away? What would you give in exchange for your soul? More than the silver and gold of the earth. More than all jewels thy spirit is worth. For God the Creator has given it birth. What would you give in exchange for your soul? The altar's open. You know where you are with God right now. Oh, what would you give? What would you give? What would you give in exchange for your soul? What if today God should call you away? What would you give in exchange for your soul? Altars are open, come on.